Speaking of old, where's Mickey?
Covered in trains?
That's a euphemism, isn't it?
Yes. Lock on!
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
Ho, 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 screw you!
Hey, Mickey.
Nope. I'm bitter.
Paladin.
Spot the difference.
And Fort Max.
Dun, dun, dun.
So let's do this thing.
Well, then, okay, podcast start. It's superhero time. It's almost Christmas.
We're and all Mickey, set to ruin it.
And Mickey has presents.
I have stage presents.
No, but I mean, you just got some presents.
Yes.
That you bought yourself.
No, they were bought for me using my credit card.
Ah.
That I took out just to buy trains. It'll right. be fine. Don't ask questions.
The credit card company right. bought you these toys, and, you know, later on they'll ask you for a favor in return.
A sexual favor?
Maybe. Guess that would save you paying
they'll
the bill.
They'll need you to drive a car just one night. nothing much. Don't tell anyone about it.
I've had Christmases like that.
Well, you live in Detroit.
Most afternoons are probably like that for you. So, Ken's not with us this week because he has a terrible case of vaginal discharge.
Ew.
Like I said, terrible. But the rest of us are here, and we can ruin Christmas just fine all on our own. So, Mickey, how much money did you spend on trains?
Grand total is, at the moment, $110.
And what all did that buy you?
I got me Tokyo-O, Bildai-O, and, was it Kuretsu-O? No.
Diesel-O?
Wait. Diesel-O, yes, thank you.
I thought you were
and,
doing that on purpose.
And Dino socks.
Which conveniently also fit over the dick if you want.
Yes. Dino-dong.
I saw that picture.
Yeah.
Also, when you put it on the train.
Yes. But as to my satisfaction level, very high.
I didn't ask you about that.
Well, I'm going to talk anyway, because clearly I'm interesting. yes, because I probably would, if this series even came out to America, I would probably pay exactly the same amount to get the American versions. I'm very happy getting the superior imports.
But the American ones might be Zord Builder.
Quiet, don't talk about such things. Don't make me second guess myself.
Why not? That's what we're here for.
Just imagine plugging Dragon Zord onto Tokyo.
Or the Dragon Zord tail onto the Tokyo Dong.
Yeah. We're onto something here.
We could call it Tommy Ego Zord. Oh, I did notice they dropped Titanus to $149 on my Toys R Us.
You should buy one.
If they drop another $100, I probably will.
And then you can put Tokyo in Titanus. Tokyo Ultra Zord. Just remember to put the Dragon Zord chest plate on the front or it won't make any sense.
So I find that I need more trains to attach to these Tokyo Zords. Like, a lot more trains.
I think all the Red Rushes are pretty cheap right now.
Well, I mean, I've realized that I've got the Goanger trains and I've got the Mystic Forest trains. But ideally, I really need to get the Go-Go V trains.
Five?
The Super Trains?
Yes.
Well, I mean, there's not that many trains to get, is there?
Well, but the wider I can make this motherfucker, the better.
Well, yeah.
And
I'm sorry, language.
And the Magic Ranger trains?
He has the Solar Streak Megazord.
Ah.
Yeah.
It used to be mine.
I have your Solar Streak Megazord.
That's right.
I've almost got the XV smell out of it.
Damn, I'll have to rub it on me some more when I come by there next. I'll take it to bed with me or something.
That train doesn't belong to you.
But I miss it.
I don't care how many cylindrical shaped slots it has on it.
But the edges are so sharp.
So is my dick.
That's really all the trains there are, though, isn't there?
I mean, unless there's anything pre-Zoo Ranger that I don't know about.
Nothing comes to mind.
Oh, wait, no. What about the
Bison Liner?
Is that a train?
One at a time?
What?
Bison Liner, kinda, sorta.
What is that from?
Live Man.
Ah, okay.
Kind of a stretch. Plus, it's probably old and costs a fortune by now.
And it probably sucks.
It does.
I'm sure all of these things are true. Well,
Bison Liner and Sci-Fire ended up having to be designed to combine with a toy that wasn't designed to have other stuff combined with it.
So it's City Commander.
In a way, yeah. If City Commander's bits also had to form their own robot.
Well, I never try, but you probably get something out of it. Or it's like God Bummer.
Ew.
That's probably a little more appropriate.
I was all excited to get God Bummer, you know, from a comic store while long many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Until I played with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was trying to convince myself, well, it's still cool because it's so rare and importy.
How much
I think it's clearance
it?
Out of Toys R Us for $20. I'm like, God damn it, I hate myself.
Yeah, how much did you pay for your comic store one?
I want to say it was $80.
Ah.
Oy.
But I had it a full year before it came out in America.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
Clearly, I knew what was going on.
Oh.
Now, to be fair, in the same purchase, I also got the Giraffe Beast Wars toy.
Long Rack?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
It probably is.
The important thing is he has an articulated tongue, which is amazing.
Always a good feature.
Now I'm just imagining a Figuarts Ligatongue. That would be alarming.
Or do you mean alluring?
I guess it depends what the texture of the tongue is. I never did get that Apex Armor Optimus set, even as cheap as it ended up getting. Sometimes I can never regret that.
It's something you can live without, especially if you didn't have it as a kid.
Yeah. And I didn't.
So, yeah. When you have Power Master Prime as a kid, and you grow up and you realize, oh, there was an accessory for it that you never knew about, it becomes somewhat of an obsession.
Or maybe that's just you.
Well, I find out, oh, I only had 2/3 of this toy. This is horseshit. No one told me about this.
Well, it's your fault for not living in Japan at the time.
It's my fault for not having internet when I was, what, 8? I don't know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. What year?
What was Power Master Prime? 4 Max?
88.
Thank you. So that bet me 9.
Okay. I thought you were older than that.
I was born in 79.
Okay. Whatever.
Oh, I just found out you could put the Dinliner trains on Tokyo's fists for punching through time.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do a Time Ranger crossover.
Yes. Well, if they weren't produced like 10 years apart, Time Ranger and Deno totally should have had a crossover.
They can travel through time. It doesn't matter how many years apart they're done. That's the point of time travel.
Maybe they could just do it like Trials and Tribulations style.
Ooh. So, like, have Cisco and Deno?
Yes. And also Momotaros.
Cisco would totally punch Momotaros.
But Ryotaro never punched me.
I'm not Ryotaro.
If Ryotaro had tried, he'd probably end up just slipping and landing on his ass.
Yeah.
In a tree.
Yes. No, they'll mix footage of the Imogen into a Time Ranger episode, and that'll be the crossover. It'll be perfect. Okay, so I guess we should probably get into the news, since we've had all of our fun.
You know, break this winning streak.
We do it every week.
So let's see. What the hell happened this week?
Good job.
Nope. Jeff Pruitt uploaded two new videos. One that has several more Zoo 2 full Zoo 2 fights, including Robo-Goat, Stag Beetle, and Piranha's Head.
The Piranha's Head one is pretty nice.
Yeah, and also another short video that has close looks at a few of the Zoo Ranger mecha models.
And also the Die Ranger ones are visible in the background.
Yeah.
So it was a Christmas present to you.
Which of us?
Fort Max, since the Zoo
the one who noticed. Well,
Fort Max?
Hey. More Zoo 2.
Yeah.
Can we Merry get Christmas.
This, can we get this on the Shout Factory DVDs now? Who's that?
Sorry.
What was it? It sounded interesting.
Probably just like Zoo 2 video.
Oh, I was hoping it was like your cell phone or something.
I was hoping it was a vibrator.
Same thing.
So let's see, other stuff that happened this week. We got a bunch of new Ninja magazine scans, including our first look at the Shurikenjin suit.
Links? Yes, thank you.
That's still a really weird looking design.
Yes.
Nipple fists.
Well, it's like it's sitting in a control chair, isn't it?
That seems to be the effect they're going for.
It makes me wonder if like upgrades aren't going to build more mecha around it and eventually it'll be in an enclosed cockpit.
It's like they were trying to outdo the combination nipples.
Docking nipples.
Docking nipples.
Fist nipples.
I kind of love it just because it's so weird.
I hope at one point the robot that's piloting it just falls out.
I'm kind of curious as to how they handle the scale with this.
How do you mean?
Well, assuming that, you know, they're going to have a smaller size robot dude running around at some point.
Maybe.
Because there's not much point to having a human sized suit unless you're going to be using it.
Maybe they can just get Vern Troyer to run around in a little Zord outfit.
A little Furbus outfit?
Yeah.
This would be a step up for him, right?
A Furbus Zord.
Ugh. I imagine that the Furbus Zord happens when Furbus wanders onto the end of Superman 3. And he gets stuck in that machine that turns that lady a robot.
Or it's the Furbus and Sonic crossover.
Duh.
It's not like things can really get worse for Sonic at this point.
Furbus Boom.
And Sonic Boom is so amazingly broken.
Have you played it?
No, I have not. But just the fact that you can just infinite jump with Knuckles by pausing.
Wow.
And only Knuckles.
Uh-huh.
Poor, poor Sonic. What the hell happened to you?
Sega.
Yeah, I guess that explains it all.
Well, it doesn't explain Sonic's fandom.
I don't think anything can explain
that. Think I could say something that would explain Sonic's fandom but be terribly offensive, and I'm not going to.
Well, now I want to know.
I'll type it, but I'm not saying that shit out loud.
That's okay. We'll use Paladin's text-to-type program. I see.
Really? For us, that's not as offensive as you made it out to be.
No, I think he means more in the context of our general audience.
Yeah.
Hi, Don.
I'm not certain what you're applying with that one.
So anyway, moving on.
Oh, we also got a new Golden Shower teaser this week.
Maybe Fort Max wasn't here the week we decided we were going to call the new Garo series Golden Shower.
You know, I didn't mention it was Garo Golden Shower, because I could have put anything in that link.
So I like this is from Garo Official, and they call it Garo Goldstrom.
Oh.
They misspelled Storm.
They know speak English so good.
Oh.
And plus, since I've been watching so much Gokaidra, I just keep hearing the Gokai Silver Gold mode going on here. Garo, Gold Storm! And that big old anchor flies on top
stealing
of Garo.
A bunch of,
and
stealing everyone else's kills.
Yeah. And all the other Garos, like, fly out of his gun.
All the other Garos being the exact same suit.
Yeah.
Makes it a little more boring, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, this looks pretty good.
Just
hopefully
it'll
be
actually decently written.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be as good to watch as the first series in this timeline.
I believe it has the same writer, so I think there's a good chance.
I don't think it's writing so much as just general production values and direction. Of wanting to keep it fast-paced.
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually making things be happening all the time.
Yeah.
That's kind of the important distinction, I think. But yeah, I'm looking
forward
to it.
I want the Garo suit's eyes to be replaced with little googly stick-on eyes.
Talk to Giga. That's kind of his gimmick.
Yeah. But it would totally work.
Yeah. To be fair, it half looks like that already anyway.
Yeah. They just seem to be sort of like rattling around inside there.
Yeah, yeah. So, moving along, Paladin.
Okay, there's one more Arms Change Premium exclusive release coming.
Oh, hell. If it's going to be something I want, I'm going to be pissed.
Duke Dragonfruit.
Damn it.
Well, there goes another $80.
Well, I haven't bought acorn or cherry and peach yet, so I think I'm off.
Wait, do you mean walnut? Because acorn was ornate. That was not a premium.
Yes, you're right. I do mean walnut. Thank you. But yes, so I can avoid it. I'm just pissed that I can't get it easily.
No, you should probably pre-order this because I don't think you're going to be able to get one of Mandarake cheap.
Although another part where I don't want it is it looks like it's based off the whole lemon mango.
Well, it very
seed,
obviously
which,
is.
Yeah, and that lock seed kind of sucks.
In the Arms Change line.
I kind of don't want anything else based off that toy.
Right, but it's Ryoma. You have to. It's Cyborg Ryoma.
Oh, Ryoma.
Well, it's okay. From the look of this scan, you have until the 9th of March to decide to pre-order it. The pre-order window seems to go from the 24th of December to March 9th for some reason.
Hmm. It does seem that way.
Yeah, so I don't think you really have to be in a hurry.
Or the pre-order window is up until the 24th of December and it's delivered by March 9th.
If that's the case, you're kind of screwed.
Considering they only announced this earlier this week.
They're not planning on making very many.
Anyway, I think you have some time to change your mind. You got some time for us to break you down.
And there could be more on the way, for all we know, because they're introducing two more riders and two more armor sets in the Gaim side story.
What is it about Zangetsu getting a Gatling gun on his shield?
With proto-melon.
Yes. He's getting prototype watermelon arms. And they're also introducing Kamen Rider Iden and Kamen Rider Tyrant.
I heard somebody misinterpreted that as Thailand.
He gets a tiger knee finishing attack.
Well, on its own, that would be fine. It's just, you know, Thailand.
I'm not sure where that one came from.
That's fine.
But they're reusing the dragon fruit again for that.
Yeah, they're basically just, like, making these suits and then cutting them up for other suits as quick as they can.
Yeah. Which suits so fruit are all basically the same anyway?
Yeah.
This is, what, 17 riders for Gaim?
You know, I've kind of lost count.
They should have a Kamen Rider Gaim with Clementine arms. Or it's just the orange arms, but really tiny. Like, it got
and,
sent
and
to
the
wash
belt
or something.
Oh My Darling, when the...
Yes.
Drops. Really, Kota should have had the Clementine arms. It would have fit him better.
Maybe he did have Clementine arms. Maybe there's like a regular orange arms.
Oh.
The size to fit other riders.
Yeah, the orange arms actually was Clementine arms, and the real orange arms is like another watermelon.
Yeah.
So Kota would have kumquat arms then. That's his size.
I'm laughing because you said kumquat.
Well, I shouldn't have expected quote. That part.
Mickey has a lot of intro quotes so far.
I do what I can.
So, yeah, unsurprisingly, Gein won't die.
It's the new Dino.
I'm kind of okay with that.
We already had new Dino. Nobody really liked him.
And then Oz came along and he got even worse.
And he was never heard from again.
Oh, speaking of Dino, isn't Yuto and Deneb coming back for a movie?
Correct. We heard some more of the returning actors for Superhero Tyson Grand Prix. We heard a while back that Kamen Rider Black would be in it, and we're also getting Kamen Rider Zeranos and Deneb.
Fort Max, I swear, if you make that joke...
What joke?
Never mind.
I want to know this joke. It sounds funny.
It's not. It's like a Paladin-level joke.
Say it.
Fine, Fort Max.
Who's Zeranos?
I approve.
You wouldn't if every time anybody talked about Zeranos, somebody made that joke.
Oh, well, I've never heard the joke before, so...
I've heard it already today before now.
Well, this is what you get for paying attention to the internet. I check in to post awesome things I think of, then I check back out right away.
Oh, and I left out one. Kamen Rider Garen is back. So yay, he got out of the Dark Nebula.
But all those people are still in the M-Bus.
Which series was Garen from?
Blade.
That's the boring one,
right? So it's
okay
if you don't care about him.
No, I like Blade.
Oh, okay. Fize is the boring one, then.
Fize is the Inoue series. So you never find out if it's boring or not because you can't stand to watch it in the first place.
Oh, okay.
Wizard. Wizard's the boring one.
That much is definitely true.
I'll give Wizard something in that at least it elicits an emotional response from me. Which is blinding hate, but, you know. That's more emotion than I feel about Star Wars, so, you know. At least it does something.
It's weird Zeranos is coming back since, like, the actor had retired because of back problems.
Huh.
So he may have something of a reduced role compared to previous entries.
Maybe.
But how old did Deneb beat up on him?
Deneb never beat up on Yuto.
Well, I mean, okay, the other way around. How old he beat up on Deneb? He's supposed to, like, be jumping all on his back and shit.
They'll use a suit actor.
Oh, call's back.
Well, for most of us.
No, every once in a while my computer's network card forgets that the internet exists, and I have to disable it and re-enable it to get the internet back.
Your computer is like my house.
Your house forgets the internet exists, and you have to restart it?
No, it's just sort of held together by bailing wire and broken dreams.
Oh. Is Fort Max coming back, or did he get pissed off?
Well, he was insulting the cow, so I'm thinking he wants to come back.
These are, like, the least dangerous-looking shurikens.
Well, they have to be child-friendly.
Oh, did we start talking about shuriken stuff?
Sure, why not? They look like they're going to be throwing Beyblades around. Ooh, that's really a missed opportunity they don't make shuriken Beyblades.
Different company, I think?
No, isn't it Bandai?
I don't think so.
Are there other toy companies? I guess Takara.
Yeah. Is Portmax coming back?
Huh? Massive DDoS on North Korea and all their internet's down. Ha. Huh?
Oh.
That's what, 3 computers? Oh, that's a good sign.
Is Fort Max North Korea?
Space North Korea?
Isn't that pretty much Texas?
I don't even know how to process that. Let's see.
Start over again?
Oh, let's try to get Fort Max back. I wonder what the problem is.
Maybe his system fried.
I don't know, he responded in the chat. This is all staying in, by the way.
Of course.
Quality podcasting. Shut up. But yeah, there were the we got better looks at the ninja costumes, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes.
And confirmation they'll be appearing in the Tokyuger versus Kyoryuger special. Surprising absolutely no one.
Well, that's not a good sign. Did you see him sign off? I didn't.
I saw him sign in.
Can we boot him and then re-invite him?
I did that already. Okay, well, dress.
What about Jurassic Park now?
Watch, we won't get Paladin back now either.
And then there was one.
Now, was that one supposed to happen?
Yes, I did that on purpose. It doesn't seem to have helped Fort Max, though.
Oh, we were supposed to hold on to our butts, weren't we?
Well, I mean, you can if you want to. So far, we just can't get Fort Max back. I'm not sure what the problem is. Everybody else works. Which, considering Mickey's on a Mac, is amazing.
I know.
I said no when Skype told me to update. Maybe he said yes instead.
Fort Max has left. Should I add him back?
Will it work?
I don't know. Let's see. Doesn't seem like it's going to work.
This is a bad sign, I'm thinking.
It's a Call great failed. Sign. The show is canceled. Let's just drink.
But we've already recorded, like, a quarter of the show.
Here we go.
Oh, hey.
Hey, you're back. You had the safety on, didn't you?
That makes a surprising amount of sense. Fort Max, what happened?
I have no idea.
How'd you fix it?
I don't know.
Oh.
What are you going to do next?
Go to Disney World.
This is quality professional podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should probably speed up in case that happens again.
Well, my computer is not going to go stupid again anytime soon. That only happens once every several days. Anyway, to catch things back up, I like the Ninja suits.
Yes, they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very solid designs. It's
now
alarming.
We just need a competent writer and production crew.
Do we still not really know anything on that?
We'll probably find out by the end of this week, but we don't have any solid details for sure.
Okay. Why can't they release information in time for us to podcast about it? Where's their consideration? Did I lose you guys again?
No, I'm sorry.
Not yet.
Nope.
Stop playing with your toys, Mickey.
I'm not actually. The cat is being weird.
Well, it's a cat.
Well, it was being more interesting than you, so.
Uh-huh.
What were you saying now? Sorry. The cat left the room, so I'm now on board.
Paladin, what else is in the news?
Well, the basic Dino Charge figures are out now.
All right.
And apparently Saban and Bandai don't actually talk to each other as much as they should because they got the names wrong on their packaging.
Oops.
What do you mean?
Well, apparently, according to the official sources, the Red Ranger's name is Tyler, but in the packaging, it's listed as Lucas.
Oops. Do they ever list the character names on the packaging?
They have bios on their cards now.
And I think some of the Samurai figures actually had character names also.
Okay.
I saw pictures on Twitter. It looked like the Megazord was out.
Oh, for Killreager? Or whatever? Yeah, it's been out for a couple weeks. Since, beginning of November.
Okay, I don't pay that much attention.
Yeah. Actually, I saw it at Target today, too, so it's going hitting other places other than Toys R Us now, so.
Oh, good. Are you going to buy one?
Yeah, actually, I've just finished painting it up. I'm putting clear coat on it today.
Oh. Why didn't you mention that at the start of the show?
Because, I've had it for, 3 weeks, and...
Trains are apparently more fun.
Yes, and I kind of don't even like these, so, you know.
Oh. Right,
but
it
comes with the one battery, right?
Yes, but the two accessory swords each come with a battery, so.
But in a couple of years, when the Americanized Tokyuger stuff comes out, you can put trains on your dinosaurs.
That's true.
And dinosaurs on your trains.
I'd be very surprised if we got Tokyuger in America, though. It seems like they're totally going to skip.
It'll be funny when they don't, though.
Well, they'll go back and do Go Busters.
Okay.
But they'll cut out all gold and silver.
You say that, but if they did bring it over, most likely there wouldn't be, you know, Jay wouldn't get used, that suit.
Yeah, of course not.
So it still wouldn't really do as much good.
I could settle for just a morphed Jay.
Not
it's
me.
Not ideal, but I could deal with it.
Nope, I have to have Jay the Buddyroid. Nothing else will do.
There is, alas, only one Jay.
I need to track down that talking Jay. Unfortunately, I didn't find out it existed until it was long gone.
I'm still hunting a plush Navi from Gokaiger.
I think I saw one of those on Mandarake recently for stupidly expensive.
Yes, they are stupidly expensive.
Yeah.
But so I want one to hold and cuddle and hug.
Right.
Because Navi is adorable.
And then the cat will eat it.
I also want a Navi that's shaped like a door.
that between your kitchen and your den?
Or to outside.
Oh, okay.
And so you have to use a ranger key to get into my house. That would be amazing.
But wait, does the stuffed one come with a Hawaiian shirt and hat?
Oh my god, it totally should.
Although it wouldn't be that hard to get that. You just need, doll clothes.
You just gotta build a bear.
Yeah.
And, take out another new credit card.
Right. You're making all the good financial decisions, Mickey.
I am.
Yeah. So, Mickey, you'll pay for me to come down there and visit, right?
Yes, of course. You like ramen, right?
So, news?
That's pretty much it for news this week, since I'm damn sure you don't care about Kamen Rider Mach.
I think it looks pretty stupid.
It looks like Super Dave Osborne.
But not as good.
Or funny.
Yeah. Also, that stupid gun with a tire on it.
Everything has a tire on it in this series.
Is there anything about Drive that isn't awkward and stupid?
No.
Because this tire gimmick just gets worse and worse.
Waiting for it to end just so we can have something else to watch?
Christ, and it's just started. We're not even at a halfway point yet.
No. No. Kind of sad.
Very sad.
You know what's really sad? Gobblers actually really likes Drive.
Well, he can be wrong. He also likes Ultraman, too, so, you know, his tastes are suspect.
That explains a little bit.
Of course, Ken would probably speak up at this point to defend Ultraman.
Yes, but Ken likes Pretty Cure. And Digimon.
Well, he likes Digimon that isn't tamer.
And Wizard. Ken's like a wizard lover.
Was he?
It doesn't matter. He is now.
He is now.
Okay. Okay. We'll just assign aspects of JD's personality to Ken.
And he's loud.
Yeah.
And poops a lot. He does poop a lot.
And boy, is he bald. Which also may actually be true. I'm not sure at this point.
He's got a big beard.
Well, Ken probably wishes he could.
Nobody should ever wish for a beard.
Well, JD seemed to like his.
Well, because he was allowed to have a beard. Having a beard and not being allowed to have one are like the worst.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
We're not just talking about beards anymore, are we?
I'm on my fourth hard lemonade of the evening, so I'm duller than I should be.
Slightly. Well, you know what that means, though.
Was it time to cover something?
Yes. Get on track, Mickey.
Oh, balls. Okay.
You should have known when you...
Was that a train pun?
You should have known when you...
No, no.
You should have known when you spoke up about being, you know, a little too drunk.
All right, what are we on, 40?
40.
Okie dokie.
Beginning of the end, part 2.
Electromagnus
dies again.
All right. Episode 40, home stretch. Let's recap what's going on here. Akira sold his soul to Schwartz for a plastic toy. that they really haven't used all that much since they got it.
Well, every time they use Tokyo Rainbow, they use it.
Yeah, but I kind of get the feeling it'd be just fine without it.
But it would be missing the drill.
Yes,
yeah,
it would.
They could throw one of the scope rushes on instead.
Maybe they could just borrow the Denliner whenever they need to form Tokyo Rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. They're not making any new movies for that.
So, recap over. We're back where we left off now of Akira dressed up in his Zaram outfit, telling the Tokyo-Drews, peace, I'm out. Tokyo-Drews are like, buh? And then, the scene gets kind of interesting in how Akira's like, he switched sides, but he's completely neutral about everything. He doesn't hate them. He's like, yeah, okay, I'm doing this now, and y'all don't need to worry about it. Y'all just keep on doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. We're cool.
I'm basically working toward the same thing you are, so just chill.
Yeah. And the children just don't really quite understand, so they keep pestering. He's like, okay, well, if I have to kick your ass to drive the point home, I will, but, you know, I don't really want to.
He's going to go bright slap them. Because he has to make them understand.
Yes. So they eventually stalemate and say, oh, but you want to protect rainbows. And it's like, yeah, well, rainbows are kind of lame. I'm going to go be with the badass guy in the general's outfit. Then he demorphs into his monster form and brings in the rain. No, literally, he brings in the rain. That was a pun or a joke. Because it just means he's going full-on monstery evil bad guy again.
And also, the last time Wright calls out for Akira, he says, no, it's Zaram.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Wright never listens to anybody, so that doesn't really sink in.
So about this time, Short shows up to take him away, to put him back in his cage. And Tokyo just start arguing, you know, with basically arguments of, but.
Because they're nine and that's all they know how to argue with.
Yep. Yeah, and they just don't really quite get what's going on, which...
They're nine.
Yeah. And Kira's basically like, look, I already made a pinky promise with Takati for him to kill me. Because like, whoa, wait, what did I promise you? I said, oh shit, I did, kind of did, didn't I? I didn't know that's what you're talking about.
He was pretty vague at the time, though.
Yeah. I promise for you to do something with me at some point in the future. Sure, why not?
Takati thought he meant something completely different than that.
Yes.
Of course he did.
So Schwartz and Zaram hop in their Darkliner and toot-toot away with the Tokujers in hot pursuit. And the Tokujers slowly come to the realization that maybe Akira just doesn't really give a shit about any of us. Like, oh, well, that kind of hurts our feelings. Because we loved him, and apparently he didn't really have any opinions about us at all. And we as the audience are going, duh. And they realize that, you know, Akira doesn't really understand why would we'd even be upset about him going away. Because he doesn't understand anything about friendship, because it's an alien concept to him. It's not how his brain works.
Mm-hmm.
I just love this writing of the Tokujers getting up to speed with what we've pieced together so far, is that Akira is not in the same show as them. And they're finally realizing, oh, wait a sec. We've been acting like this guy's our friend, but who the hell is this guy?
He just kind of stumbles into scene every now and then and
plays a harmonica.
He hadn't done that in a while either.
So meanwhile, back at the Disco Darkness Palace, Zed is shitting feathers from underneath the curtain. Which is... It's got a pointy nose, a little suspicious.
Nero,
yes, thank you. How did you know I forgot his name? Was it me stumbling and thinking of what to call him?
He's got the pointiest nose of the cast.
Yes, well, Nero is going, what's behind this curtain?
Or would you rather see what's behind door number two?
Well, he makes his choice and rips that curtain open and dun-dun-dun, fat baby.
But Noir is delighted.
Yes, Noir gets all wet with this sight and thinks that she's got Greta back. And I'm just waiting for Greta to open her eyes to see whether she's got white eyes or red eyes. And thankfully for Noir, she's got white eyes. So it's good Greta and not evil bitch Greta. And Greta explains that, oh, well, thanks for waiting to save me, but you can't right now because I'm busy. Go screw off.
Your baby's in another castle.
Your baby's in another asshole.
There's an intro quote.
Another Disco Darkness Palace.
Also, apparently your name is Mucky now because that's what I typed.
Oh, fantastic. So around this time, Zed snaps out of it and takes control of his body again. And he pimp smacks Noir out the goddamn window, which is pretty awesome.
But once again, no body, so he's probably still...
I've got Christmas cramps, and you're bothering the shit out of me. Be gone, fool.
Smack.
It was a total Doctor Doom move.
The real Doctor Doom.
Because Doctor Doom gets Christmas...
That's a shit movie, Doctor Doom.
Because Doctor Doom gets Christmas cramps?
Actually, I believe they're having stories about Doctor Doom getting grumpy at Christmas.
Oh.
It's a Fantastic Four, so, you know, quality of writing isn't really a problem. So, with Noir disposed, it's time for Schwartz and Zaram to show up to fight Zed when he's at his weakest. And judging by how the battle goes, if this is Zed's weakness, they've got a real problem ahead of themselves.
Yeah, I would say. To be fair, they're not the strongest people either, so...
That's true. Both of them probably had their darkness levels reduced. But thankfully, Akira can fight with light.
Mm-hmm. At least for a minute. Presumably he's got the time limit considering they're at the Shadow Terminal.
Yeah, but they don't mention it, so I'm surely it's fine.
Sure.
And even the powers of light and goodness of Orange aren't enough to overcome Zed, so Zed just chokes the shit out of Akira, then jumps out the window and into his personal escape train.
Dragging Akira with him.
Yes. But so, why doesn't he kill Akira? Because he's got plans. He wants to use his power for his own gain.
How ominous.
So, back up topside with the real world, the gang is all loaded up into the mystery van, and they're going to dive down into the darkness depths to go rescue Akira. I forget, did they find out where they were actually were going?
They detected the dark liner in a shadow town, so they basically had the location picked.
Okay.
But they didn't end up having to actually go.
Okay. Well, yes, so before they get to the darkness hole, Zed's massive train bursts from the hole. And as it speeds away, Tokyu 6 gets thrown from the train like Mama. At which point, I think we all immediately realize what the hell has just happened. It's a hope we all have.
I was pretty suspicious by that point, yes.
So they carry Tokyu 6 back to the Tokyu liner, and he instantly recovers and sits down in the bench all pimp-like, and I'm like, oh, hell yes. We've had a line change of Tokyu 6 to the villains. Because Zed is making Orange look pimp as shit.
It's Orange. I mean, it already looks...
This is extra pimpy.
Okay.
Which, now, Fort Max, has there been a case of a good guy's morph being passed to a bad guy?
We're not counting Enter this time, because that's not really a morpher, right?
And plus, that was created for him, anyway.
It was just the closest thing that popped to my mind.
Well, unless Enter Buster, Beat Enter.
Beat Enter? I don't remember that.
From the Super video?
I've forgotten that entirely.
I want to say there's been an occasion where a villain has used a morpher, but I can't remember specifically.
Well, either way, they shouldn't be too surprised by this, because even as Caboose points out, the morpher even works with Ticket, and he's a damn puppet.
Or is he?
So I guess they could actually, if they put the morpher on the Christmas tree and had the tree's branch swipe it.
Well, no, because the first time they pulled that thing out and Conductor was going to use it, it still changed Ticket, even though Conductor was the one swiping it. So I think it just matters who the morpher is attached to.
Wait, who was holding the... Well, it was Conductor and Ticket. Well, I think it was Ticket who was holding the train.
Was he?
Yeah, because Conductor had the train in Ticket's mouth.
Okay, so, if you put the morpher on the tree and then tape the train to a branch of the tree and just swung it through...
Yes, you would have an orange tree with the Tokyu 6 helmet on top, probably.
I love this.
Now, would the tree be orange, or would the tree be like a regular tree inside orange spandex stretched over it?
I think just for practicality, the tree would just turn orange, and would have a bunch of little bulb ornaments that were the Tokyu 6 helmet.
No, I kind of like that idea of spandex being stretched over the tree, and the tree branches going through the arms. And the helmet on top like a star.
Well, it would just look like Tokyu 6, your mom.
Oh.
Oh, and it would have instead of tinsel, it would have the go on your vest thing.
Go on your vest thing?
The hazard strike vest.
Oh. Yeah, we just have hazard tape on it.
Yeah.
I'm liking this idea.
Yeah.
What else can them to try this?
Instead of lights, it would have tiny Tokyu 6 swords.
But they would all fall off.
Yes.
So what else could we turn into Tokyu 6?
Tokyo.
Well, it'd probably be difficult to get to hold on to something so delicate, but sure.
I wonder if we get the Tokyo morphing brace to change into Tokyo 6.
Make the gun turn into Tokyo 6, like load the Orange Express thing in the barrel and hold the morpher at the end of it.
Yes.
Everything can be Tokyo 6. Of course, you realize the tragedy of this is that we had this idea, but there's no Figure Arts Tokyo 6 for Giga Beetle to actually put any of this into practice with.
I know. Ugh.
Yeah. Well, what Giga Beetle needs to do is buy a Tokyo 6 vinyl and cut the head off and just put that on things.
Yeah.
It's not like that would be that expensive either.
Or, I don't know, when Tokyo Ultra comes to America, we can get by one of those giant crappy plastic figures and make one ourselves. Like an actual tree.
Ah.
All right, so the big question here is, Zed, what the shit you doing on our train? He's like, you know what? Everyone's being a real pain back home, so I thought I'd hang out here for a while where no one's going to bother me.
I mean,
so his entire motivation for this entire plot is like, I didn't want to be bothered, and I figured you people would be less bothersome than living with the microphone-headed bitch.
Well, and like...
Well, he's not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever it looks like on the surface of it, I kind of figure as long as Zed is not being threatening on the train, they would basically just leave him alone. You know, they
only
just...
met Wagon anyway, and she started to bother him.
Well, see, that's the part of it he didn't take into account, because I don't think he's ever met her.
Yeah.
But, like, just the Tokugers themselves, I don't think they would preemptively try to kill him unless he was actually doing something hostile.
Plus, sign, Wagon isn't going to try to make him do stuff.
Well, it's not even the doing stuff. He was just getting mad because everybody was disturbing him.
Well, they kept talking about, oh, your powers are so weak. You're so weak right now. Are you okay? Are you okay? Can I get you an aspirin? How about some ibuprofen? That shit gets old.
And Caboose would be doing the same thing.
No, Caboose would just be trying to sleep with him.
You don't think that's what Granny Goodness was doing?
He makes a good point.
Yeah.
Disturbing though it is.
And speaking of disturbing him, guess who pops up again?
Fat Baby. So Grita shows up and starts dropping truth bombs on the Tokyo team, saying, hey, look, I'm still alive. I'm in here. I'm doing something. Leave me in here. It would be bad for everyone if I was separated from Zed. Which my theory now is that she is acting as a stabilizing force against his darkness.
She's keeping his power restrained.
Yes.
So she's like the Majin Buu to Zed's Kid Buu form.
Or is it the other way around? I thought Majin Buu was the bad one.
No, Kid Buu.
Okay, well, I didn't watch past Frieza dying, so what do I know?
Which time?
I watched when the show ended.
You missed a lot of good Hercule.
Well, it's okay. Abridged will get around to it sooner or later. Mostly later.
Yes, but she's totally Zed's carbon control rod shoved up his ass.
Yeah. Which pretty much just lets through that she let herself get absorbed.
Yeah.
Because she knew what was going to happen with him.
She's the real hero of this story. The inanimate carbon rod.
Up the ass?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we go to commercial and cut back to a tasteful shot of Akira's abs, which nobody's going to complain about. And so him and Schwartz are talking about something. I don't know. It's kind of boring. Who cares?
And he found a kitten on the railroad tracks, apparently.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, they're having this manly talk about solidarity, and we stand on our own. And I didn't really understand you.
And then suddenly this kitten suddenly teleports in right next to him.
They're talking about how, like, you know, how each of them has changed, but they've also really stayed the same in the important ways.
And it's a very manly conversation until all of a sudden, kitty!
Yeah. And Akira just can't contain himself.
And Schwartz is like, yes, well, you haven't changed. You're still weird. I love that even when they have Akira go dark, they don't forget that he's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like you said before, he's not really going dark. He's just, like, doing something
and he
different.
Never was dark before. I mean, he was raining out field days.
He He's kind of on the lower order of shadow monsters.
Yeah. He's like the worst shadow abilities, but he's a complete badass despite it.
But yeah, I mean, Akira doesn't really do dark. It's just like, you know, whatever goal he set himself to is the difference. Right now, he's just fulfilling his promise.
So, this is when the episode becomes balls out badass. When the Tokujers show up, and along with Granny Goodness and Pointy Nose.
Nero,
yes, thank you. If he had a character, I might remember his name, but he doesn't.
He does have a character. He's the one that sucks.
Yeah. He shows up with the crows, who are more interesting enough, and I can remember their names.
Yeah, well. They were the first thing we liked about Tokujer.
Yeah. And so we get one of my favorite Sentai tropes is when we got dual battles going on in spandex suits and rubber suits at the same time in the same shot.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I love that shit.
And with Tokujer's action directing, it looks great.
Yeah. So we've got Wright up in the Hyper Resha, putting the smackdown on Granny Goodness, and the rest of the team downtown fighting out mooks.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, eventually Noor shows up and meets up with Schwartz and Akira and says, I've got to tell you something. You have to save Grita. And they're like, yeah, we know. We're on that. Calm the hell down. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. Zed and Grita have a little heart-to-heart in the Feather Dimension. It's very erotic.
Is it?
Well, there's feathers falling from the sky. And they're sitting back-to-back, so I assume that means they're about to bang.
Oh.
That's where they're at, right on the back.
I mean, that's how it happened in Gaim, too, when the feathers were falling, right?
Yeah. Right when Michi screwed Coda.
Right, through the new hole he made in the front of him.
Yeah. But enough of this lovey-dovey nonsense. It's time to put Hyper Rush's fist straight through Granny Goodness's heart. And, well, we don't see her escape. So, unless she's incredibly good, I think she's dead.
Would have been better if she died last episode.
No, we didn't see a body, did we?
No, well, like, we didn't see her explode directly, but you don't always in those cases. She may have just gone down with the ship.
In any event, she's not really serving anything benefit to the plot here. She's just kind of in the way from characters who are interesting in doing things.
Yeah.
Pointy Nose more than her.
Even though you can't remember his name.
Yes, and that's how much I dislike Granny Goodness, because she is just there to be whiny.
Well, it's not like you remember her real name either. You just remember because we started calling her Granny Goodness.
That's true.
Yeah. It's just because you want her to sound like Ed Asner.
That would make her sound sexier, at least. Alright, what's going on? About this time that the Disco Darkness palette starts shaking and vibrating and thrusting itself up through the earth, erecting itself on the top side.
And hey, look, we're about to get one of my theories confirmed.
And, oh shit, they brought a tree with them.
But because not just any tree.
Because the Darkness Palace is, at least in part, their hometown.
And it's their secret base.
Oh good, make sure you go inside and get the flag so you can finally get the damn Megastone.
Eh.
That's how everyone feels about that stupid quest.
Which Megastone?
Garchomp.
Eh.
So, to me it looks more and more likely that Zed is indeed Kagura's little brother. But that just raises further questions.
Do we know she has a brother, or is that just part of the theory?
No, she said she had a brother. She ran a shop with her two parents and her brother. That was
okay,
on her lantern
wish. I just couldn't remember right away.
Yeah.
But that would make sense based on everything else they're trying to show us.
And there's the whole twinkle, twinkle, little star connection, and then their tree in their base. So, I mean, he's clearly tied to them.
He's just the one of them that didn't escape the darkness.
Right. And does not have the memory, but he says still has the yearning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So the bigger question is, like, well, how did he get to be emperor?
I guess we'll find out eventually.
Tune in next week.
or maybe the week after that, or the week after, well, probably not the week after that, because that's probably going to be preempted. End of the year and all. I guess we'll see.
How do people in Japan take vacations outside of Golden Week and New Year's? Like, do they have, like, other vacation weeks on top of that they can take whenever, or is it pretty much like, this is your vacation, deal with it?
I still want to know how the country functions when everything shuts down.
Poorly.
Like, it seems like somebody must still go to work during that time.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
I mean, how would basic services keep working if nobody's working?
They don't.
Well, it's not like they have hospitals open on weekends.
No, but like, you know, water, power, public transportation for people who need that.
Well, they're on vacation. They don't use water or power. They all go up to the hot springs together.
Who runs the water to the hot springs?
Well, Gaia?
What if she's on Golden Week?
I didn't thought of that.
See? When does Gaia get her vacation?
I guess once we kill ourselves off, then she can have the planet to ourselves.
Oh, okay.
So probably pretty soon, then.
Cheerful. Speaking of which, it's almost time for our last stop in ruining Christmas. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hungry. Santa, my pebbles.
Your pebbles.
'Tis the season to be sharing, Fred.
Happy holidays, pal.
Oh, Fred. Rudy and Cocoa Pebbles cereals, part of this nutritious breakfast.
We paid your mom a nickel to listen to Superhero Time. She died.
Kids, are you brushing your teeth?
Okay, Mom.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Wow! Time for Crest Sparkle Mania!
It makes boring brushing down to fun!
Crest Sparkle, Sparkle Mania! Makes brushing fun, complete insania! 'Cause when your brush with sparkle, Crest, you never know what'll happen next!
Crest!
Crest Sparkle, Sparkle Mania!
Are you kids brushing?
It's so much fun!
It's outrageous!
Crest!
And this was how Superhero Time ruined Christmas.
Anything else?
No, I'm sorry, we have nothing else, because it's time for our final week of ruining Christmas.
Yay! Christmas is canceled.
Really, you succeeded in ruining it last week. This is just pissing on its corpse.
And that's how you know you're listening to Superhero Time.
Internet's foulest tokusatsu podcast.
The internet's most offensive podcast about children's TV shows, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I might actually have had that liner produced. I never did anything with it. Whoops.
Well, it's a great time to start.
Yeah, but if people are listening to the show, they already know that.
But you need to like run it into like RFC's commercials.
I don't even know what Kilby does for RFC's commercials. I mean, all that stuff gets added in post, and it's not like I'm going to go listen to a podcast I was already on.
I assume it's just him talking about drinking Cheerwine.
Well, if we could actually get the Cheerwine sponsorship, he probably would. They're not very interesting.
Hey guys, this is Brian Kilby, talking about the smooth, delicious taste of Cheerwine.
Although apparently he is threatening to do some kind of Audible thing.
Yeah, aren't all podcasts Audible? I mean, that's sort of the point of them, is you can hear them.
Yeah, like, you know, like the ebook people.
Oh, like the hearing aids, Audible.
Yeah, that. No, it's the people behind all those ebooks accounts on Twitter.
I don't really get those.
Like, my favorite of which lately is Uberfacts ebooks, which just takes actual stuff from Uberfacts and mixes it up into often hilarious things, but occasionally really horribly offensive things, too.
Which you so mean I frequently.
I get what the ebooks are. I just don't get how the idea started.
I think it started with, like, was it Horse eBooks?
That seems to be the first one I remember.
Yeah, which, you know, eventually the identity of that person was revealed and they stopped doing it, but by that point there was many copycats and it just kind of took off. A few are good, most aren't. Superhero Time's kind of like the eBooks of Toku podcasting, though.
We're a little bit more random than that.
I didn't say we were good eBooks. But you know what I miss?
What?
Drunk Hulk.
Never liked Drunk Hulk.
Oh. You know what I miss? When Lord Taco was actually a person and not a bot.
Oh, his bot's fairly entertaining.
Well, sometimes.
Also, sometimes he sneaks in real tweets in there.
I know. I can kind of tell the difference because most of the tweets from the bot are like the same four or five things in different variations.
Yeah.
And anytime it's not that, it's pretty clearly him.
He loves his bot, though.
Why doesn't he make, like, you know, Lord Taco eBooks to be the bot all the time?
I think he enjoys people not recognizing that he's a bot.
Why doesn't he make Lord Taco eBooks and just tweet from that himself, then?
That would be amazing.
We should suggest that to him.
Also, yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
Okay. Be sure to credit me with the idea.
I will.
Good. That way he'll know not to take up on it.
But I'm going to call you XV because he won't know you as Chris.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Nobody you know in real life knows what my name actually is.
I barely do. And that's only because your Twitter handle's had it for like 6 months now.
Well, it's like when I was there last January and I asked David outright, do you know what my name is? And he's like,
People don't need multiple names.
It just kind of proved the point. So anyway, we were doing power playback at some point here.
No, this is more fun. Keep going.
No, I think we're running out of steam. So here's what we're going to do. Our power playback is Alpha's Magical Christmas, which has a lot of songs. So Paladin is going to summarize the non-singing part of the episodes, and Fort Mix is going to interject with song where appropriate.
Oh my god, yes.
Fort Max, I will leave this at your discretion. Begin.
Okay, so Alpha is decorating the command center one Christmas when he suddenly decides to tell us about another Christmas that almost wasn't, but then was.
I thought that was the same Christmas. I thought he was having a flashback to that morning.
Well, there's Zordon only one way to find out.
So this is Zordon... this is written and produced by Cheryl Saban. I get the feeling there's some nepotism going on.
Yeah, that's his wife.
Okay.
And she had done a lot of production and writing before, too.
Yeah,
so...
yeah, this is not the only thing she's done on Power Rangers.
Is it the only bad thing she's done?
The only thing she'd done on Power Rangers.
What, Paladin?
It probably should have been the only thing she'd done on Power Rangers.
Also, this episode was directed by Jon Stewart, who I can only assume is the Jon Stewart from The Daily Show.
That would be amazing, in a sad kind of way.
Or possibly the Green Lantern, I don't know which.
Yeah, because isn't Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, he doesn't have an H in his name, does he?
Yeah, it's just J-O-N.
Yeah, so it would be the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
So, this episode of Power Rangers is brought to you by the Green Lantern Corps.
Which is odd, because usually they're trying to enhance people's will to live, aren't they?
Okay, that actually was funny, Paladin. Loath as I am to admit it.
Okay, so, what's Alpha doing?
Well, first Zordon tells us that the Power Rangers have a special mission helping Santa Claus prepare gifts for Christmas. Because, yeah, that works somehow.
Well, that's what they were doing in I'm Dreaming of a White Ranger.
I assume that means that we're too cheap to actually pay for actors to be on the special, so we're getting costume people in this episode.
Mickey, did you actually watch this?
I did, but that's what I was thinking in that moment when he said that.
Okay. Which is not an unlikely assumption.
You're also assuming that they got paid for this.
Your payment is you get to keep your jobs.
So then Alpha presses a couple buttons on the command center console that make decorations appear, including a Christmas tree levitating down from the ceiling.
No, no, that was Zordon doing that one.
And he called that tree from heaven.
And it arrived on a bed of snowflakes.
And it shat glitter as it descended.
That's just going to get everywhere.
And it'll never get off.
Mm-hmm.
Arts and crafts herpes.
So, Alpha's lonely without the Power Rangers there to entertain him, so Zordon tells him to press the special child abduction button on the command center console.
Yes. Okay, so this one's episode went from okay, this is weird to what the hell?
Because they have a button on the command center that summons like 24 children from around the world directly into the command center.
Okay, now if they just abducted children from Angel Grove. At least they'd probably piece together this is the Power Rangers, and it's cool. Granted, there's no Power Rangers there, but they could probably piece together the lightning bolt on Alpha's chest and the happiness and, you know, the schmarminess. But when you're grabbing people from, you know, the Arc de Triomphe and the Tower Bridge in London, these kids don't have a clue as what's going on. They don't even speak English.
Well, the one.
Well, I guess the kids from London probably would, but you know, it's British. They call things flats and chips, and Zordon wouldn't know what they're talking about.
Lifts. Yeah, you think Zordon knows what a pair of trousers actually is?
The wrong trousers.
Well, so why exactly do they have a button that makes them abduct children? Is this just like their backup plan in case the Power Rangers ever get defeated?
Yes.
We need pre-teenagers with attitude.
And we need about 30 of them to make up for the difference in height.
Well, yeah, you figure two kids.
You'll have to double up so the costume will fit.
Right.
Well, wouldn't the pre-teenagers be played by teenagers?
Yes. Oh, by the show's logic, yes.
So what are they going to do with all these children?
Well, first they start singing.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree.
I'm glad I wasn't drinking at that moment.
Okay, so they start singing.
Mm-hmm.
And they start decorating the tree, which starts out kind of normal. And then they start putting clothespins on the tree and then hanging, like, stuffed Mounties and, like... Are they just raiding the junk drawers of the command center?
Well, then Alpha just starts shooting it with magic, so I guess so.
It's like, we're going to start tying on 2-inch pieces of string. Some bottle caps.
No, I'm considering that there are they have at least 2 Triceratops mirrors somewhere.
Do they?
Yeah, there was a small hand one that was the one Kimberly kept there that they used on Primator. And then there was another one that they used on the Octophantom.
I don't remember the smaller one. I just remember that really
the Primator was the one that they used to force him to knock him out of his disguise.
I just remember the big one because the panel was all warped.
Did they keep it in the basement?
Probably.
So the best thing about this whole decorating sequence is like halfway through Zordon decides, you know what? I haven't abducted enough children. I should keep going.
Look, this is taking too long. We need more labor.
So then, after several hours of decorations, they decide to start watching Christmas stock footage because they're too cheap to pay for anything else.
Hey, kids, who wants to watch It's a Wonderful Life on our anachronistic round TV?
You like distortion, don't you? Sure, all kids love fisheye lenses. It's just like you're watching one of those Spike Jones videos you love so much.
And be sure to shake these bells around so it looks like we brought you here to actually do something.
The creepier part of this, somehow, is that Alpha, like, randomly knows the names of some of the kids.
Have they been targeting these kids for a while?
Right!
I guess the implication is he has, but did Zordon know before he brought him in? Did he label the buttons on the children abductor?
No, they just pressed the button once, and they had started bringing them in waves.
I mean, I guess
the button activated like a batch process.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he would have had to target specific kids. Otherwise, you know, how would you get a fixed number?
Yeah,
of
they're
kids?
Not in Japan anymore. There's actually a lot of kids to choose from.
Well, Japan had more kids in 1992.
Yeah. And but this was back in 1992, so these kids are probably stupid enough to use, like, ICQ or something and give away their real name and address, so.
No, 92, it's Prodigy.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
ICQ
right, so,
a few years
so
away.
Speaking of these kids here, let's just sort of run through a few of them here. There's a few stars in this episode. One is the black kid with the awful green pants, so the color of a doctor's waiting room. And since he's a black child in the 90s, I have to assume they've named him Jamal. Because that was the go-to name for a black child in the 90s. They frequently hung out with sea bears.
Right. And ghost riders.
Yes, that too, yes.
Yeah. Like, that's where I went first. I'd forgotten Sea Bear and Jamal was a thing until you mentioned it.
How could you forget Sea Bear and Jamal? That was a classic cartoon of the 90s.
The thing is, I have independently thought about Sea Bear and Jamal within the last month.
It's like right up there with Eek the Cat.
I liked Eek the Cat.
Eek the Cat was really good.
It was pretty screwed up, but it was good.
Okay, now we got the girl with the red bow in her hair. It looks kind of snotty, and like she's probably going to be really fat when she gets old. And I named her Ashley.
Not to be confused with the Ashley that would come along later.
Right, this is a different Ashley.
Right.
The third one that's notable is the girl in the black evening gown that Alpha keeps trying to grind on throughout the episode. And her name is Leah.
Because?
She looks like a Leah. She looks like she's sort of, you know, a prima donna, I'm the star of the show type of character.
All right.
And that's why she's getting all of Alpha's attention.
All right.
And then I got bored of making up personalities for these characters and just turned off my brain and watched the rest of the episode.
Right.
And then Alpha decides it's time to make Christmas cookies, which, how does that even work? He's a robot. He doesn't eat. And why do they have all the ingredients lying around for Christmas cookies?
Because they were planning to abduct several children.
But how do they cook them? Is there an oven underneath one of the consoles?
They have a button.
Yeah, it's the Morphin Grid.
Repeat to yourself, it's just a show.
You should really just relax.
Them making cookies is fine. You know, I can accept that they brought an easy bake oven from somewhere.
Okay.
What trips me the hell out is when it's all done and Alpha wipes off his imaginary mouth saying, that was good. What the hell?
How does he eat and why does he eat?
Did a mouth open up? Did the cookie just, like, you know,
dematerialize into him?
Yes.
Maybe. They just jam it in the back, like that slot where the CD goes?
Yes,
that's
what they did.
Was he just lying and saying that he ate cookies?
No. Palin's got it right. They put the cookies down his CD drive. That's perfect.
And he was what? And the imaginary mouth was as close to the CD drive as he could reach.
Were they singing a song while making cookies, too?
Yes.
When aren't they singing a song?
Just during the bridging elements.
I want you to sing the song of the old king. Whatever that W word is.
What?
Old king was just.
Old king, what's his name?
Yeah, that's it.
I thought it was Princess What's Her Name.
Yeah, it's Princess What's Her Name, but it's Old King What's His Name.
I guess that was her father?
Yeah.
Okay.
Paladin,
and anyway, then
abortion.
The alarm goes off, sounding completely different.
Yeah.
So Alpha's next step, of course, is to hand out presents that he got from somewhere to give to the children.
but the alarm went off. But it sounded less alarming.
And they go talking to a Santa who, well, the Power Rangers with Santa, whose mustache obviously isn't attached to his lip at all.
Just like King Lexian.
So yay, there's your contractually obligated Power Rangers appearance for this Power Rangers special.
And you know what? This special has more morph footage than all of the three we watched before.
Yeah, I particularly like in this clip show bit of the Rangers they give. They only show the back of Billy's head. Someone must have really been pissed off at him that day.
Wouldn't
and then it's time
me?
For the kids to open their presents.
Well, no, not exactly.
It's time for Alpha to give them their presents and tell them to get the hell out.
Yeah, they materialize these empty boxes to give them, and Alpha tells them, you know, don't open them until Christmas morning when you're not here so we don't hear you complain because there's nothing in them. Some of that may not have actually been said. Maybe.
There's this one kid on a horse who seems to be enjoying it way too much.
Yes. Yes. Like, get off that damn horse, kid.
No,
you're
no.
You're upsetting the other children.
No, you gotta get back on the horse.
You gotta get back on the horse to get off the horse. Wait, what?
See, so you've already succeeded before you started.
And then it's time for more Power Ranger stock footage. And apparently, Tommy's the Green Ranger at the North Pole, but the White Ranger in the stock footage.
Okay, so... this is where this episode just blows my mind. Fort Max, I'm trusting you to have the answer. Like, what the hell is happening when they filmed this?
I have no idea.
It's pretty obvious what was going on when they filmed this.
Cocaine?
Apart from that.
Oh.
Obviously, they were filming this at the point in time after, you know, the original three had left.
Except that he was already... Except that they didn't leave until after they had already shot multiple episodes after White Light.
So did they shoot this at the beginning of season two and just sat on it?
I don't know, because they also don't... Because if they had, you'd think that they would still have Jason... Trini and Zach, helmetless with Tommy, Billy, and Kimberly.
Unless they went back and refilmed that part just to not have them in it.
And then didn't notice.
But they went back to refilm it. Why wouldn't they film it with the other three cast members too? Maybe they filmed this at the one spot right when they were leaving.
Except Tommy was already the White Ranger then.
Oh, God, that doesn't make any sense either then.
Because, remember, let's see, if they had any, if they had left, it makes no sense because, let's see, I think there was some stuff, some lines that they hadn't recorded when he was still the Green Ranger, but... All the shooting had been done on...
We have obviously put far more thought into this than they did.
Yeah, it's like...
Right, and I mean, like, the new three Rangers only appeared in, you know, external footage, so obviously they were not there and available to be part of that shot, which suggests that this was produced before their casting was finalized. Right?
But there... But that also doesn't make any sense because, again...
Tommy would have been the White Ranger then.
Yeah.
Because what if there was a time...
There was only one episode that didn't have... there was only one episode made between the time... That had its stuff shot between the time that the first three left and before... The next three were in, which was that Halloween episode.
Maybe okay. Tommy's clone came forward in time from Colonial Angel Grove and replaced him at Santa Claus.
That's the only thing that would make any sense.
Okay, here's my theory. What if there was a moment before the original three left the show, where they threw a little hissy fit and said, "Yo, we're not doing this shit. Y'all can do this without us. We're going to just go sit over here if you don't want to pay us for it." Maybe there's like a minor incident leading up to when they eventually left the show for good. Or could be Saban says, "Okay, if y'all want to play hardball with your contracts, we'll just do it with these three here. We don't need you."
Maybe. No, I mean, like, if there hadn't been the White Ranger stock footage in the stock footage, that really worked better in my head. But if that hadn't been there, it'd be easier to assume that, you know, this was all,
or
at least
the bit
primarily
with Rocky Adamid Aisha.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
yeah, there's actually a line in here with Zordon saying three of them are still at the World Peace Conference.
Yeah.
So they don't even get to go home for Christmas.
Is that the first time they really kind of reference that in the show?
First and last, I think.
No.
Well, they mentioned it in Zio.
Yeah, they mentioned it in Zio because Jason was coming back from it.
Or had.
Yeah, and they had it in the Turbo movie, too, I mentioned. Right?
Did they?
Well, they had Kimberly and Jason there, so.
But Kimberly didn't go to the peace conference.
Oh, yeah, she didn't.
She went to Florida.
And then Skull knocked her up.
Well, that's what happens in Florida is you bang skeezy dudes.
Well, Skull probably knocked her up on the way out of town.
Yeah, it's not like that would have taken long. So anyway, more singing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Yeah, that's about it.
Good enough.
Fort Max, we love you so much right now.
And then it's time for the religious symbolism stock footage.
So, Tommy again?
Surprisingly, no. And of course, the kids have to give Alpha his gift.
And tell us what it is.
It's the gift of love.
Is this gift legal?
Well, not in the U.S.
Maybe Alabama?
Probably took some of the kids from Alabama, right?
Sure.
So then it turns out Zordon's built a giant gateway to send the kids back home.
Okay, so, like, they had a button on the console to kidnap children. We've established this. So why, then, do they need an ominous glowing doorway to send them back? I think they didn't send these kids home at all.
I think they kind of killed them off here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking
they
had
the kids walk into the light.
Yeah. That's kind of how I was taking it, too. Maybe these were kids that were all going to die that night. So, you know, took them to have a nice Christmas party and then to, you know, humanely kill them.
This is the shittiest Make-A-Wish Foundation.
But yeah, that's kind of the imagery of that door is just unsettling.
And right after the kids are disposed of, three Power Rangers actually show up.
Which, hey, that was a surprise, because, you know, like we said before, at the start, it looked like, well, we don't want any actual actors here, so
fill
the set
with kids.
For
a whole minute and a half, they can't be actors.
And here's the odd thing. No, the three of them aren't in the credits at all.
Yeah, they're not. All the kids got in the credits, though.
Yep.
Well, wait.
The kids got in the credits. Alpha's suit actor is in the credits. Alpha's voice actor is in the credits. Santa's actor is in the credits.
Okay. Was this released with the typical Power Rangers opening theme song?
I don't think it was, no.
I mean, because it was just a direct-to-video thing. So.
Yeah.
And as Zordon's final gift, it snows in the command center, presumably shorting out all their electrical equipment.
It's not snow, that's just Zordon's dandruff. He's shaking his head really hard over there.
Well, maybe Alpha should have put the cap on the tube.
The reason why it's blue, it's full of that dandruff shampoo.
Paladin said put the cap on the tube and all I can think of is Zordon toothpaste. It's a clear tube with like translucent blue toothpaste and a Zordon face printed inside.
Oh, it's so like Crest Sparkle?
Yeah. Remember that commercial with the song?
I don't remember the song, but I remember the cartoon
Sparkle Mania.
Man. Yeah.
I bet that's on YouTube.
Well, we know it's going to the commercial break now.
Of course, anybody listening to the episode will probably know that already because, let's see, Crest. That's got to be on here, right? Yes, it does. It's uploaded by George VHS.
Thank you, George VHS.
I like to think this person legally changed his last name to VHS because he loves the format so much. Just like the guy who made himself be Optimus Prime in real life.
Yeah, I remember this now.
Yeah, it was very catchy.
It's very 90s.
Well, that too. I kind of regret that, you know, being an audio-only thing will lose part of the effect. But I'm sure for anybody old enough who's listening, hi, Don, you know, it'll bring back fond memories.
I can kind of remember the
flavors.
This
is amazing.
Still.
Have you never seen this before, Max?
I don't
this
think
is before
so.
Time. This is 1990. He was born in, what, 1998?
86, right, Fort Max?
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually remembered again.
Lord, that means you're 2 years older than David. That makes me feel really gross.
Good job, Fort Max. But we found something Fort Max didn't know about. This is an event. I think that's Fort Max's Christmas present to us.
It's a Christmas
miracle.
That's
what the singing was.
All that
too. Was a Christmas miracle, too.
Fort Max singing was a present to all of our listeners, also. The not knowing about this was just for us. And making you feel gross, Mickey, was a present just for me.
Yeah.
See, everybody wins, except for Paladin, who lives in Detroit.
Everyone wins except for Ken, who we forgot about.
Oh, right. We had one of those at one point, didn't we? Hi, Ken. We remembered you eventually.
Yeah, you know, like he's going to hear this.
Well, we remembered you quicker than we remembered Paladin wasn't talking that one time.
I think Ken does tend to listen to the episodes he's not on. Which
That's very suspicious of him.
Which is at least more sensible than Gigabeetle, who listens regardless. I think Gigabeetle actually listens to the show more if he's been on it. Like, he'll listen to the episode multiple times if he's on it.
That's because, you know, clearly it's one of the best episodes.
Well, true. And Gigabeetle does love Gigabeetle.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love Gigabeetle?
Exactly. Bad people, that's who. Okay, so we've kind of used up our allotment of Christmas episodes, especially being that Christmas is like 2 days from now. We were talking about doing like a Sentai New Year's episode for next week. Did we ever decide on what we were going to do?
No, we didn't.
Try something
good.
But aren't they usually clip shows?
I don't know.
Let's do Bokenger. Do they have a New Year's episode?
I don't know.
Does it involve anyone dressing up as a kid's dead mother?
You know, we really should have watched that just as a tradition.
I kind of watched it as a tradition anyway, actually.
But I mean as a podcast function, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just every year at Christmas we'll talk about that episode. Or not, because we didn't.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bokenger. Let's see. Episodes.
Oh, wait, here we go. Sentai New Year episode list on the Power Rangers Wikia. How helpful.
All right.
Episode 44, The Hermit's Onsen.
Uh-huh. So, a Hot Springs episode. So, is that what we want to do, even though the only choice is TV Nihon?
There's a Decaranger episode 45, Accidental Present.
I wonder what the present is. Surprise pregnancy? That's why it's an accident.
Wait, isn't Isn't TV Nihon the only option for Deca Ranger too?
Oh shit, you're probably right.
Uh huh. Magiranger 44 Mother's Scent.
Smells like tuna.
See, it's too bad that Magiranger and Gekiranger weren't right after each other, because Mother's Scent, Father's Melody.
I was ashamed that O-Ranger's not up to 42. The Squadron's Public Execution.
I like the Car Ranger one, the Persistent Chicken Violent Dash Chase.
I know.
That sounds promising, actually.
Yeah, when Car Ranger actually gets...
It is a Car Ranger episode, so...
When Car Ranger gets subbed to that point, we're going to have to revisit that.
Oh, Jetman's was the tomato one.
Didn't we watch that one, though, didn't we?
We did do that one. We did.
Yeah. Fort Max, is 46 of Kaku Ranger done?
All of Kaku Ranger is done.
Oh, okay, I kind of lost track. The new spring manga hell.
There we go. Okay, we're doing that one then.
That's a good idea. We've had good luck with Kaku Ranger.
Kaku Ranger's a good series.
And plus, manga hell sounds promising.
It would either be that or Mega Ranger. Relax. Kenta's New Year's Eve riot.
Oh.
They're not up for either, are they?
No, Mega Ranger's done.
Oh, damn.
I'm leaning towards Mega Ranger because that one specifically says New Year's Eve is a plot device in it, so.
Let me go over to see if they've got, like. Or actually, there's links to the episode. Are there episode summaries on the wiki?
Maybe. I haven't clicked on any of these yet. I've lost my place.
Kenta loses his digitizer while the rest of the Digital Research Club cleans up for New Year's. This probably is a clip show.
It is.
Sadness.
So that might not be ideal.
But a New Year's Eve riot sounds so amazing. How could they?
I know, right?
I don't know how they could.
Well,
but...
go click over to the page and look at the example image they give for that.
He's holding a toy of himself.
Mm-hmm. Fortex, do you know if 46 is a clip show of Kaku Ranger?
It is not.
Okay, then we should go for that.
Okay. Probably the safest bet, then.
It involves Kaku Ranger getting trapped in a manga.
So it's Storybook Rangers.
Didn't we just do this episode?
Yes.
Do they actually transform in this? Is there a turkey?
There is no turkey, but they do transform, and it does have Ninja Man.
Good enough.
And it has some woman dressed up as Zoo Ranger's boy.
So, let's refresh here. We've got Kaku Ranger doing Storybook Rangers probably around the same time Storybook Rangers happened. And we have Mega Ranger doing the Spirit of Nature as a Child episode when Turbo was probably doing this very same episode.
No, it's not. It wasn't done at the same time. I mean, it was literally that one was probably done they probably already had that Mega Ranger episode when they were doing that Turbo episode. So it was like, hey, let's just use this plot here. But yeah.
Right, so next week it's a Kaku Ranger New Year.
Kaku Ranger is always great.
Mm-hmm. Kaku Ranger, Mega Ranger, Bioman.
Kaku Ranger also has an amazing clip show as well, so.
Unfortunately, Bioman's not far enough along because their New Year's episode is 49.
Yep.
Critical Bio Robo.
I need more Bioman.
How many episodes of Bioman were there?
51?
Okay, that's almost the end of the series, then.
51.
Yeah.
And a movie.
Well, I mean, usually there's a movie, isn't there?
It's a longer movie.
Ah.
Like 40 minutes.
Wow, that is long.
Are the older movies available to sub at all?
All of the movies through O-Rangers are on Blu-ray.
But nobody's subbing them.
Because why would they?
Haven't gotten to... The problem with Bioman is all the
technobabble. There is no problem with Bioman. What?
No, the problem with translating Bioman is the technobabble.
Oh.
Really?
Since there aren't any captions, they're having to rely on blogs just to try to get that, okay, this is what they're saying under the explosions.
Ah. So it's just difficult to hear.
It is difficult to hear with with 80s Toei audio quality, sound effects, and made-up words. And the main blog that they've been using for the technobabble dialogue is, well, only has the episodes, not the movie.
Mm. Yeah, that seems like it'd be a problem.
Yeah. Toei Channel needs to get on to airing Bioman with captions.
And the movies, apparently.
Yeah.
What if we happen to doing Abba Ranger again?
Nobody does Abba Ranger. Ever.
Smile Precure happened.
Blah, blah.
Magenta kind of got burned out for translating for a little while after the hell that was Smile Precure.
Is Abba Ranger actually that bad that they have to avoid it so much?
No. It was that Magenta got burnt out of translating from translating Smile Precure. Smile Precure was that bad.
But that was before Gaim.
Yeah.
And after that, he's ready for a break again.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Typing something.
Yes, I am. A link for you.
If it would ever actually click.
Okay.
That certainly is a something.
Have you seen these before? I mean,
are these Korean releases of the Mattel figures?
I don't think Mattel did Snap-on armor. And these appear to have working knees and hips, so I don't think these are Mattel.
The Mattel Double Soul figures had knee and hip.
Well, they're Mega Man figures, so it's probably deceptive quality.
But I believe they did not have ball-jointed hips, which would probably be the difference here.
Yeah.
I've
never even seen anything like this before.
Oh, yeah, you know, I can see, the hair spikes on the back of the normal helmet come off. That wasn't that way in the Double Soul figures. Interesting. Do they have different ones, or is it just this metal sole?
Okay, this is Takara. So, yeah, there's the links below. There's all kinds of different ones. Wind sole, water sole.
Roll sole?
I haven't seen that so far.
See, Mattel Cut made sole. That one. A DN driver, that's only...
Sasuke sole?
Gunpei sole.
Oh, Korean DN driver. That wouldn't be any good, though, because it would sound Korean. Gunpei Soul, set it in your heart.
Yep.
Now I'm just seeing Predator figures.
Ah, well.
Predator Soul.
Who was I having that conversation with?
What?
I think it's Revolver Unit. We're talking about Jason versus Predator versus Aliens.
Okay.
And I end up with one of the aliens impregnating Jason. And, you know, a chest burst out of him, and Jason would be annoyed by it, because he's annoyed by everything. But the Jason alien would have, the inner mouth would have a little hockey mask on it, and the tail would end the machete.
Or would that happen in, it wouldn't even be an alien, Jason would just burst out of his own chest?
No, it'd need to be a Jason alien, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole plot is that the Predators come down to Crystal Lake when it's very hot to hunt Jason, because he's dangerous game.
Uh-huh.
And they bring down some aliens too, just to spice things up. Uh-huh. At the same time, the camp has just reopened.
As it does.
As it does. So, yeah, it would be like the best movie. The Predator uses its shoulder cannon to blow off Jason's arm, and Jason just get pissed and keep walking towards it and, like, hack its head off.
Well, pitch it to somebody, they'd probably make it.
That's the scary part.
Send Michael Bay an email. Or maybe J.J. Abrams. A J.J. Abrams Jason movie.
How would you get lens flares off a bioluminescent forest?
You'd find a way.
What if J.J. Abrams and Michael Bay teamed up?
You would never see anything that happened in the damn movie. Which might be for the best, come to think of it.
Think about how inexpensive it would be to produce, too, when you don't even actually need, like, any visuals. You know, all you have then is the dialogue, sound effects, and an everlasting lens flare.
And an everlasting sunset.
Well, where do you think the lens flare is coming from? Like, around the glare of the lens flare, you would just see the color of the sunset in one little patch, and it would just be there forever. And, you know, after you get out of the movie 4 hours later, you would just have this, like, purple spot seared in your retina from it. We should be movie producers. Think of all the good we could do.
I know. We have the best ideas.
We do. Like our Muppet Sentai.
Oh, hey, something interesting just popped up.
Is it a Muppet Sentai?
No, let's go to Toku Nation's main page.
Do I have to?
Super Hero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.